Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 26 through 29 as we conclude chapter 3. And I need your attention here on the board. Let's go here now. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are All One in Christ." We are all one in Christ. Let me just pause for a moment. In these last few scriptures, Paul is identifying one creature. That's us. We're creatures of Christ. He's defining and explaining that there is no longer Jew or Gentile, but one man. And that is us, born-again children, children of the Most High God. You see, the Judaizers, as we've been learning, always wanted to infiltrate the church and would want to be above even the born-again children, the Gentiles. They still wanted to be above them. But yet, we're understanding the grace of God that at the cross, we're all equal. We're equal to the cross. Can I get an amen? There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. And so we are so blessed, very blessed, to know that we've been grafted in by faith. And now we are, hallelujah, the inheritance that God has left for us, the church. We've been grafted in to the Abrahamic covenant. So everything that now was given to the Jews has been given to us as well. And so that's why Paul said there's no longer Jew and Gentile, but one man. And this is what we're going to see in the Word of God, and we're going to do our best to expound this in the name of Jesus. So, let's go there right now, and let's start with verse 26. Here we go. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? All right. Let's break this down. Let's go to verse 26. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome to know, my friends. You see, saints, the change to you shows Paul's return to focusing on the Galatian believers. They did not need to be children under the care of the guardian, meaning the law. Instead, they were all children of God. They received God's blessing by faith. Can I get an amen? That's right. They received this status through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Praise God. Praise God. I want to show you this, what Paul wrote to the book of Romans. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In Romans 8, 12 through 17. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Key point right there, my friends. Let me just pause there for a moment. When you hear in Scripture, when you read in Scripture that we are sons, daughters of God, Well, that's because we've been born again. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed until the day of redemption. You see, when a person cries out to God with a heart of repentance, and God quickens you to come to Him, then He imputes upon you His righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And once the blood has been applied and you're washed in the blood of your original sins, then the Holy Spirit comes in and He abides in you until Jesus comes for His church, which I believe He's coming soon. And so, as you can see, it says right here, let's go back to read this right here. It says, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, born again believers, these are the sons of God. That's key right there, saints. That's very key. Look at this in verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified, what? Glorified together. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? We're joint heirs with Christ, meaning everything that His Father has given Him, He has given to us. What a blessing. And one of the things that we need to be joyful about and rejoiceful about is eternity. That this body of flesh that we all know is dying daily, we're going to have a new body like His, and we're going to live forever and ever and ever. We're going to be free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're going to be free of disease, of age, of corruption. We're going to be freed from sin, no longer sinful thoughts, no longer sinful deeds. We're going to have the mind of Christ. We will be just like Him. How many of you can't wait for that moment? I can't. Oh, that's right. As I mentioned earlier, celebrating 26 years of marriage. And we all know that marriages, our life on earth, is not for eternity in these fleshly bodies. They will eventually have to go back to the dust. But all my friends, the promises that God has made for you and me should want you to feel like you won the Super Bowl every day, every moment. Why? Because Jesus defeated death, hell, and grave on the cross. And now we are born again. Hallelujah. Alive unto God. Blessing Him and praising Him and worshiping Him and serving Him. This is what God expects now from our life. That we would lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. That we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are now new creatures in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. How many of you are so blessed to know that, saints of God? You need to be. You see, my friends, those who truly are God's children have been justified by faith in Christ and receive a new relationship with God. And that of adopted children, praise God. He adopted you and I. Listen, kind of look at it like this. That if you ever gone to a grocery store and you're looking for delicious apples, you know, you go through them, and if there's any blemishes or anything like that, you go to the next one until you see the one that's kind of like, all right, this one's perfect in a sense. Well, God went through all humanity to adopt you, to adopt me. Oh, that's right. Listen, there's a lot of people that are not saved. More people than there are saved. Now, will God save them? That's up to God. I have no clue. I don't put on the robe and say, yeah, that one needs to be saved. Yeah, that one don't need to be saved. Because if it was left up to me, I would make the wrong choices. God knows what He's doing. He's the one that chooses. Can I get an amen? The Bible is clear that no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. And so He adopted us. And we can cry out now, Abba Father, just like you see on the board up there. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of what God has done in your life and my life, you would want to live for Him forever and ever and ever. Why? Because this world has nothing to offer us anymore. This world's in turmoil. This world is falling apart. But I like to say it like this. The world seems like it is all falling apart. But guess what? It's truly and really falling into place. Because God said we would see all these things in the last days. And so, what does it mean to be children of God? As he did in most of the letters, Paul was moving from the initial section of teaching passages to the application of what he had been developing, saints of God. Let's look at this in another portion in the book of Romans. Look at this. In Romans 5, 1 through 11, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Oh my goodness, look at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let me just pause real quick. When a person is truly born again and receives the Holy Spirit of God, it's like love is birthed in you. Oh, that's right. You see, before I got saved, I was a full-blown atheist. I was very racist. You name it. All these things that we see today, the woke generation, was me. But when I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like pouring in liquid love in me. And all of a sudden, number one, I fell in love with Jesus. And then I started learning to fall in love with the things that he had wanted me to look into, which is called the law of liberty, the word of God. And I started falling in love with the things that he loves. And I started distancing myself from the things that he does not love. And he calls it darkness. And so that's the grace of God. That's the power of God. That's what God does to his children, his believers. And you need to learn and understand that we're not perfect. I saw this bumper sticker. I've seen it many times. It says, Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven. That's right. And we've been forgiven for so much. We no longer are headed to a fiery hell. Oh, that's right. Hell's a real place. Did you know that Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven? It's a real place. This is why he came, to save us from that horrible place. Can I get an amen? Understand that. Understand that he came to save us from ourselves. Amen. Let's go back here to the word. Look at this. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There it is. We were all one time ungodly. Look at this in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at that. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There it is, what I just spoke about. What is the wrath? The wrath is that we deserve to be punished for our sin and totally annihilated and sent to a fireplace called hell. But Jesus came to save us from the wrath through him. You need to get this in your spirit. I know there's a lot of ministries out there, they teach about tiptoe through the tulip. They won't talk about sin. They won't talk about someone's adultery. They won't talk about same-sex marriage and transgenderism and abortion. They won't talk about that. But God does in his word. And so he came to save us from this untoward generation, that we would have a mind to be saved and a heart to repent, that we could come boldly yet humbly to the throne room of grace Praise God. Praise God. Let's continue with this in verse 10. Look at this. Verse 10 and 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. In other words, we're back with God now. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Aren't you so blessed that we've been reconciled back to God? Saints, here the first application is unmistakable. Our relationship with each other has its common principle in how we are related to God. And we are children of the same family if we have the same Heavenly Father. Can I get an amen? And from this point on, saints of God, Paul will first develop applications regarding how you and I, how we should see ourselves and others. Later in the letter, he will discuss how we should treat one another. Can I get an amen? We should treat one another with love and kindness and be courteous to one another, never slandering one another, never using one another, never hating one another, and always having a heart to forgive one another. Can I get an amen? Well, let's move on now to verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Praise God, praise God. Saints, baptism demonstrated their faith, and the people believed and were baptized. You see, my friends, Peter issued the call on the day of Pentecost of repentance and baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Oh, that's right. And it still stands today. Oh, yes. Listen, in order to receive salvation, the past 2,000 years, it's been heralded in the heavens, proclaimed by the word of God, forever settled in heaven, forevermore. That repentance needs to take place first in a sinner's life. And once they repent, meaning turning to God and turning their back to sin, then they can cry out for forgiveness, recognizing that they have sinned before a holy God. And that's when faith, hallelujah, connects with God. It's faith in Christ. That's what happens when a sinner repents. And then what happens is the blood of Jesus is then applied. And then once the blood has been applied, the Spirit comes in. Listen, baptism is so important. Why? Because it identifies you and me with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got a couple of scriptural points regarding this. Let's go there right now. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out, and it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, and all those that were down below thought that they heard people drunk because they were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. But Peter, remember Peter, he was scaredy cat Peter. He was filled with God's love and boldness came upon him, and he came downstairs and he preached to thousands. And he said, then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. Why? For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. I'm just going to pause there for a moment. That's a promise. What you read was God's promise. I shared 26 years of marriage between my wife and I and our kids and grandkids are blessed. That's right. He promised to save them, and he has. And we're so excited. We're so excited. We're so excited to see what God is doing. My daughter has been privileged to homeschool her children. And all four of those kids, those grandkids of ours, are fully active in ministry. They actually lead the youth ministry as worship leaders there in their church. They attend a very large church in Arkansas, in Fayetteville. And God has used it mightily. I'm telling you, saints, hold on to God's promises, because they're yes and amen. Have faith in God. Have faith that God is able to save your children, your spouses. That's right. Your parents, your grandparents, your extended family, your friends, your acquaintances. That's right. You are the conduit. You are the one that God has anointed. So now all God is saying, use the gift, use your mouth and share the gospel. And watch God do the miraculous. The miraculous. How many believe that at home? I do. I'm living proof of it. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this next story. This is a story in the book of Acts. This took place with an Ethiopian who was reading Isaiah. And oh my gosh, Philip came alongside him. And let's look how this story goes. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, Acts 8, 26 through 39. Saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah. He was like an Uber driver of the day, okay? Just had some spare time on his hand. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Let me pause right there. When you tune in, when you attend, when the Word of God is preached, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You see, when an anointed teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist brings forth the Word of God under the anointing, God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. Because he was obviously reading but really didn't comprehend. So it needed to be explained. And this is why you need pastors in your life. You need shepherds in your life. You need people in your life that are godly, that love the Lord, that will share the deep things of God with you. Not gossip and slander. That's what the world does. But a true born-again child will want to build your life up in the Word and watch you grow leaps and bounds. Let's look at this. Let's continue this. Look at this. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth. There you go. This is what we need to do with people in our life. He opened up his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, this particular one, he preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Wow. Look at this. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Wow. Wow. Did you see how that unfolded, saints of God? Did you see how that unfolded? My goodness. What a blessing, huh? What a blessing. There's people in your life, especially brand new Christians, that really don't know the Word of God. Encourage them to plug in to a women's study, a men's study, to plug in on Wednesday nights as we live stream. And more importantly, bring them in Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Why? Because they could grow. They could be enlightened. They could understand the things of God. This eunuch, this Ethiopian, had no clue who Isaiah was speaking about until it was clearly brought to him, the interpretation of that scripture. And when truth comes to you, you will know. And the eunuch, by obedience, was baptized. I want to challenge and encourage those of you who have never been baptized in water, reach out to us. We have a beautiful, warm jacuzzi, and we will baptize you in a flash, in a moment. Oh, that's right. Why? Because we do what the book says to do. Repent and be baptized. It's an act of obedience. And when you obey God, that's when blessings start to chase after you. Favor of God comes upon your life. He opens up supernatural doors that no man can open, and he shuts doors that no man can close. Can I get an amen that God is with us? Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in what? In Christ Jesus. Praise God. And who will declare his generation? For this he was taken from the earth. Saints of God, being united with Christ leads to our ongoing experience of being like Christ. And by becoming Christians, saints of God, and being baptized, the Galatian believers were becoming spiritually grown up and ready to take on the privileges and responsibilities of the more mature. You see, my friends, the person who is being made like him is a new person with a new lifestyle and new aspirations. Can I get an amen? What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. That is such huge, huge, huge blessing. You see, saints, in the first part of this verse that we're reading, let's look at this one more time. Let's go to that first verse. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. I want you to catch this for a moment. In the first part of this verse, discrimination and barriers are what? Eliminated. Praise God. Praise God. And in the second part of this verse, unity is established. You see, my friends, if all believers are being made like Christ, if all believers have professed faith and joined the body of Christ, then this unity sets aside all other superficial distinctions. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to the Colossian church here. He wrote this in Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Look at this. If you were raised with Christ, seek things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, here's what we need to do, my friends. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Praise God. Look at this. When Christ, who is our life, appears, this is why I'm always at the end of my messages, that Jesus is coming for his church. Look at this. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at this. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Praise God, praise God. Look at this. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 11. where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, while it is true that in the body of Christ, Jews, Gentiles, slaves, free people, men and women do still have individual identities. We get that. But Paul, he exalts their unity, that you are one in Christ Jesus. All labels become secondary among those who share Jesus in common, my friends. You see, saints, as discussed throughout this whole letter to the Galatians, a Jew who believes in Christ is no different from a Gentile who believes. Unity in Christ transcends racial distinctions, my friends. Next is the barrier of social status. Praise God. A slave and a free person must treat each other like brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. We must. And to take it even further, saints of God, when it comes to faith and God's promises, there really is no gender distinction. Both male and female alike are acceptable in the body of Christ. Praise God. You see, our equal standing in Christ gives us equal access, not only to salvation, but to the full gifts of the Spirit and to all the avenues of service. Praise God. The barriers broken down in this verse may not seem so radical to our day, but they were astounding in ancient Roman culture. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, this made Christianity unique and attractive. It valued each other individually. Praise God. Yet it provided a unified body. All believers are one in Christ. Can I get an amen? And all are equally valuable to God. You and I are so precious and equal to God. You see, my friends, differences arise. We get that. In gifts, in functions, in abilities. But all are one in Christ. Oh, yes. Look at this. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on to our last verse of scripture as we conclude chapter 3. It's found in verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you catch that, my friends? You see, my friends, we're grafted in. We're grafted in. Becoming God's children and one in Christ means that those who belong to Christ are the true children of Abraham. Jews believed that they were automatically God's people. Why? Because they were Abraham's descendants. But not so. They need to be born again. They need to be saved too. Praise God. Praise God. Paul concluded that Abraham's spiritual children are not the Jews, nor are they those who have been circumcised. I need you to catch this. Abraham's children are those who respond to God in faith as Abraham has had done. It goes back to Abraham. He believed God, and it was imputed upon him for righteousness before the law came. And so nothing's changed. We've been learning that grace was there. God's righteousness was there before the law. The law has a place, and we've been reading about this. But I need you to look what Paul wrote to the Roman church right up here. Look at this. In Romans 11, 17 and 19, and if some of the branches were broken off, this is some of the Jews that didn't believe, and you being a wild olive tree, that's us, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Look at this. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that, saints of God? You see, the only difference is that our response is to Christ as Savior. That's right. Because we have responded and we are heirs. In other words, saints of God, all the promises of God gave to Abraham belong to us now. And by responding to Christ in faith, we have followed in the ancient way of Abraham, one of the early ones that says we are justified by faith. You see, he trusted God, and so do we. How many of you trust God? That's right. So we've been grafted in by faith through an act of repentance, being washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit. We are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. Wow. And so, my friends, but to us, we have been added by faith the opportunity to appreciate what price Christ paid to ensure our promises. Our promises are sure, and yes, and amen. My friends, Jesus is coming back soon. And God has saved you for such a time as this. As we've been going through the book of Galatians, it's becoming clearer, more clear. And throughout all the other scriptural references and the other epistles, especially the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, it lets us know that we're at the brink of something great and mighty to come. For the church, it's going to be what God promised all the way since Abraham to our day and time, that we would be with our Messiah face to face, and we will be changed and we will be like him. But my friends, to the unbeliever, to those who have mocked God, those who have rejected God, my friends, those are the ones we need to pray for. This is why God has us still around, to give them that last opportunity before he comes. Why? Because he's coming soon. Jesus is about ready to return. And my friends, I hope you and I can continue to be steadfast in the faith, to hold on to God's promises. If God has promised you certain things in your life, don't give up. Hold on. You know, sometimes we pray about things, and it could take a couple years, 3 years, 4 years, and then God brings that prayer to pass, and we forget about what we prayed about because it's been so long. But I'm here to let you know that God is faithful. God is faithful. Because if you're praying for certain situations to take place in your life, especially when it's relational things, you got to let God have his way with the other person. And God will have his perfect way. And God will bring those prayers and honor those prayers to pass. But my friends, Jesus is coming back. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, matter of fact, this September 26 is going to be a brand new Shemitah cycle. It's going to be a Jubilee year. It's going to be the year of Hakel. Never in the history has that ever happened, all three in the fall feast. I'm not saying that he's coming for us, but I would be watching. I would have my hearts prepared that Jesus could come on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and take the church home. I'm excited. I look forward to every year. But this year is very unique and very special. And if it does happen on Rosh Hashanah, it'll be what was written 2,000 years ago. Let's look at this right here. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church saying, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, if there was one obligation in the Word of God that God would give to you and I, would be to comfort others, to let them know that Jesus is soon to come for His church. I can't wait. I know you can't. The brand new body will be given to us, and this old body will be done away. No more medicines, no more diseases, no more COVID, no more none of that. We will live forever in a brand new body that will never get old and never grow tired. I don't even know if we'll ever sleep again. I think it would be a thing of the past. We'll be in these glorified bodies where there's no clocks in heaven. We won't look at our watch and say, oh my gosh, it's time to go to bed. I truly believe it will be nothing like that. We will be like Him, seen face to face. And Paul further explained this wonderful, wonderful event. And it's called the rapture of the church. He further explained to the Corinthians this right here. Let's look at that. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, he wrote this down and said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised what? Incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Praise God. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. How many are so blessed for that glorious day? Hey, it just may be this Rosh Hashanah. I'd be looking up. It's a two-day feast. It could come either day. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour, but God is saying you'll know the season. And so, my friends, soon and very soon, Jesus is going to return. And I hope that you have given your heart to Christ. For those of you that are viewing this teaching for tonight, if you have not been born again, if you not have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you haven't repented of your sins and confessed to God that you have sinned before a holy God, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, my friends, it's not too late. It's about getting your heart right with God. Get it right with God now. But, my friends, here's the warning. If you put it off and put it off and put it off, it'll be too late when Jesus comes for His church. Oh, that's right. I want you to see this for a moment, and I hope this never happens to you. But let's watch this to prepare your heart so that you would give your heart to Christ. Let's look at this for a moment.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
I see that depiction of the rapture of the church, it just lets me know that we're very close We're very close. And one day, hopefully it's this year, we'll be gone into glory with Him. And we'll be gone for 7 years and then come back with Him for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. I can't wait, my friends. I can't wait. But let me just say this. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to take salvation that we're speaking about serious. Oh, that's right. And one of the scriptures that I showed you earlier, I'm going to show you again, because this is one key scripture. There are many other scriptures, but this is one key scripture that I truly believe will play a significant impact in your life if you cry out to God in faith. It's right up here, found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, repent, meaning make an about face and turn your back on sin and turn to God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. Isn't that a blessing, saints? That's the key right there. That is the key. And so, my friends, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're watching for the first time, second time, third time, whatever time, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that God will save you and bless you, and His Word promises that He'll take you with Himself when He comes for all of us. You will be included too, but you have to step out in faith, and you got to confess your sins, and you got to repent and ask God to forgive you for everything you've ever done, and He will, because He's a faithful God, a merciful God, a wonderful God. I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Man, someone just got saved. Listen, if you've given your heart for the first time, listen, look, down below is our website. Log on, reach out to us. We want to put a brand new Bible in your hand and bless you with the Bible and point you to the Word of God, a place where you can grow. Hopefully it's with us. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for logging in and listening to God's voice. Also, I want to just give another great big shout out to all of you who continue to bless and bless and bless our ministry. As you can see down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to leave you this benediction before we say goodnight. And let me pray our benediction as we conclude this evening's Bible study. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, I can't wait to see you all this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And so, please have a blessed evening. And we'll see you at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California this Sunday morning at 10. Good night. We love you, and God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.